afternoon. This is Glenn Vogel. And we're kind of flipping our format around here. And I'm working Friday afternoon. It's 12:17. Just this week. But from now on, our format has switched me over to my show called A Progressive Life. Will be on Wednesday and Thursday at 12:15 roughly. So I hope you will join us then, and we'll talk. I'm lucky enough to be right up against Charlie Everts. And so, therefore, I know there will be people listening. sometimes I wonder, just because of the nature of my show. So far, it's gone quite well. I'm looking at a different format for one of those 2 days. And so if you have any ideas of people that would be terrific guests, I would love to have you email that name and maybe a phone number, and your name and a phone number, to my email address, which is Glenn Coble, GlennCoble, at hotmail.com. And we'll contact that person and see if they want to come on. And what I'm looking for is people that have information about the community or information about the state that would be important to those of you who are listeners to this show. Anyway, that's kind of what I'm looking to do. And we have I wrapped up my travelogue, my Charles Kuralt lookalike travelogue, which didn't look anything like his. But anyway, talking about my trip out to California, then our trip from California over to North Carolina, then my trip back here to Marion, which all in all took over a month, got to see all three of my children, which was wonderful. But one of the things I got to do out in California is help my son, who is not only a special ed teacher, but he's also a vintner. He makes wine. His vineyard now is, I think, 12 acres, and they put up quite a few barrels and barrels and barrels of wine, and it was kind of fun. I helped bottle them, I helped label them, I helped to put the cork in them. That's all done by hand. At least if you're I think they call them a boutique. A boutique winery, and they are. Some of their wines go as high as $90 a bottle. I'd quit drinking at that price. Anyway, there are a lot of people out in California who drink very expensive wine, believe me. Anyway, it just reminded me that life is kind of like the aging of wine. Some of the finest wines have very complex notes, as they call them. Several, lots and lots of notes. Andrew, my son, tried to convince me that this one wine, I should be able to taste peaches in it. There were no peaches in it, but he said you should be able to taste that flavor. It should remind you of that. It should remind you of the oak barrel that it was raised in. It should remind you of grass. Not that I really want to eat, drink grass, but anyway, dirt. One of the notes was dirt. Anyway, I didn't quite get it. So what I did is I just kind of liked the wines I liked. But life is like that. As you get older, and believe me, I'm older. I'm what they call a stereotypical, well, I guess I'm not stereotypical, but I am an old white guy. And I do tend to have rather complex notes in my being. I've done a lot of stuff that I'm proud of and done some things that I'm not so proud of. But the younger people, they're kind of like the new wine, the spring wine in the early part of the year. Not a whole lot of notes. They may just taste like wine. So life is kind of that way, and we should celebrate both ways. I love the smile on a little kid's face when he's happy. I also love the smile on an old woman's face when she gets to see her great-grandchild or something along that line. So revel in those opportunities to see the notes of age and the notes of youth. Anyway, one of the shows I'm thinking about doing is a show, A Life According to Music. I am a big music fan, as many of you who used to listen to my Monday morning show, as many of you know, I played with the United States Army Field Band, and I played in a folk trio back when folk music was important. And cut a couple albums, and so I've had some opportunity and love listening to music. I'm one of those people. All three of my children think my music stinks, but I listen to music for not only the melody, and it better have a melody. I just don't like repeat of everything. I like to listen to kind of melancholy melodies, and I also love to listen to the words. The words are very important to me. I thought at one point that I would devise my own funeral made out of musical songs, maybe five or six musical songs that would be my entire funeral. And it would go through my life. And there are five or six songs that I've picked. I still haven't given that thought up, but maybe we'll see. Hopefully I won't have to do that before I want to. I thought today's show will talk about being proud that you're an American. I have a lot of friends that know I'm progressive and would be surprised at how patriotic I am. I am very patriotic, and a lot of people think being a liberal is anti-patriotic, and believe me, there's nothing further from the truth. I'm the very first patriotic thing I did was help my parents hand out I Like Ike buttons at a parade when I was 5 years old. So I've been involved a little bit in politics for a long time. My grandfather was a doctor and absolutely hated Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Grandpa Coble was very right-winged, and matter of fact, he had a brother-in-law, I believe it was, that was the grand exalted cyclops of the Indiana KKK or something along that line. It was something pretty far out there back in the 20s, back when the KKK was huge in Indiana. But they were pretty, that family was fairly right-wing. My grandmother was a typical older grandma. She wasn't older all her life, but when I knew her, she was, I think up in the 60s, and she lived into her 80s. But grandma was one of the kind of stereotypical of the women of that era. Didn't say anything about politics. That was completely verboten. And if she had said something, I doubt that my grandfather would have listened. Interesting how life has changed. I just thought that I would talk today about being a proud American. And sometimes that kind of, just the term being a proud American kind of rankles me a little bit, because why would you not be a proud American? Anyway, but you should be a proud human, more than a proud American. The Americas, we have done many, many things that were fantastic. And I'm going to go through a few of those things that have kind of sparked our lives. And the reason why I chose today to do this, tomorrow is the 50th anniversary of landing on the moon. It's also the 50th anniversary of my proposal to my wife. That's kind of scary, 50 years ago. Our 50th wedding anniversary will be the 21st of December. That is scary. Anyway, the lunar landing, they're talking a lot about that on the television stations recently, and how scary it was, but how much pride welled up inside of you for watching the astronauts land on the surface of the moon. And it was interesting. I think it was, I can't remember which one of the anchors, but he was talking to a person who was so proud that of the landing, and he was not an American. He was some European or something like that. But he said he was so proud that we landed on the moon. And that makes me proud to hear somebody say we landed on the moon. Not we Americans or something along that line, but we in general, the human race, have landed on the moon. And I remember being very proud about that. It was kind of scary. Like I said, we weren't quite sure whether it was going to make it down for the last few seconds. And I think I listened to one of the astronauts the other day say that they had to change where they landed the lunar lander because of it was really rough where they're coming down. And they thought they had, when they finally got it down, about 20 seconds left of fuel. Wow. Since then, by the way, to be proud, we landed 5 landings on the moon. And everybody remembers Apollo 11, which did not land on the moon, but was supposed to. But the movie Apollo 11 has really brought home how dangerous it was up there. It's been one, if you go back the 250 years or whatever it is since, we really made a government here, in America, there have been lots of, things to be proud of. Even before that, going all the way back to when we landed on this continent. But you got to remember, with everything that we're proud of, there is something on the flip side of that that we kind of need to hang our head and say we're sorry we did. The original European settlers came to the United States, with them, one of the things that I'm proud of is how well they were able to overcome illness, starvation. They overcame natural exposure. You know, it was terribly cold where they landed during the winter. And hostile Native Americans. They weren't called Native Americans back then because they were their aboriginals of this continent. On the good side, our forefathers survived their way through that winter. But one of the things we hardly ever talk about in our history classes or amongst ourselves is that the Indian, and I'm going to refer to him as an Indian now because he wasn't really a Native American at the time, because there wasn't an America. The Indian was, he really wasn't an Indian either, because India was in Asia. But I'm going to refer to him as an Indian. The Indian was really, very important to the survival of the European white men and women. Matter of fact, without them, we wouldn't have even lasted the year. Eventually, I'm sure people would have come to the shores, but the first several years and maybe decades, there would be no white Europeans on this shore. That's a good thing and a bad thing, because along with those white Americans, eventually we brought lots of black Africans, and they were in chains. So there's good and there's bad to everything. We should be very proud that we were able to tame this country, but we should also be very concerned about all the things that went on that weren't so pride-inspiring. We one of the things that we did really very early in our history was develop our Constitution. Now, that wasn't very early. That was in the it was after about 100 years of being here, over 100 years of being here. But we developed a Constitution, and that Constitution that we should be proud of, very proud of, but take it with a grain of salt, because it wasn't the first document that expressed the noble attitudes of man and woman. The first one it was modeled after was the Magna Carta Libertatum. I'm sorry, I'm not, I don't speak that language very well. I remember back in high school, they wanted everybody to take Latin, and I was lucky enough to avoid it, but right now it would have been nice to know how to pronounce that, but it was called the Magna Carta Libertatum, which really, it stands for the Great Charter of the Liberties. That's what it means, and it was introduced by a British guy, King John of England, in 1215, and it was written by the Archbishop of Canterbury, and he was they had their own political problems back then, and he had some of them, but anyway, we should be very proud of the fact that we devised a constitution, even though at the time the words didn't kind of rang hollow. The preamble starts out, and we should be proud of this. The preamble talks about all men, and that was back in the day they wrote it that really didn't give much credence to women. All men were created equal. Well, and also it didn't give any credence to African Americans. It was just about Europeans. And when it said all men, that meant all European men were created equal. However, the thought behind it is that all men, all people, were created equal. Or at least that's what we have come to believe. I think that's something we should be proud of, but we should also honor that. And if you believe that some people are created more equal than other people, I think you ought to go back to church, first of all. I also think you ought to think a little bit more about that. Some of the most brilliant people in the world are not old white men like me. We need to be very proud of many of the things that we have done. One of the things that we did back in our Civil War, believe it or not, was something to be proud of, because eventually we were fighting for the rights of the Africans who were enslaved in our country. And the enslavement caused our country to have kind of a black mark on its name. I know it wasn't you, it wasn't your parents, it probably wasn't your grandparents that owned slaves, but you don't have to go back very far. I went to North Carolina when I was with the Army Field Band. Every town we went to, I grabbed a telephone book. We had them back then. I'd grab a telephone book and look up the name Coble to see if anybody was lived in that town by the name of Kobol, because Kobol is not a very common name. It's actually been bastardized from the term Koblenz, I believe, which is German, and I think it became Kobol when it became Welsh or something along that line. But I would look up names, and my father, his name was Reverend Almon Jacob Kobol, and so I'd look through the phone book and see if there was anybody by his name or anybody by my name, or anybody by my brother's names. There weren't very often women listed in the phone directory back then. But we were in North Carolina, and I can't remember what town, but we were in North Carolina, and I looked up the name Kobol, and there was a Reverend A.J. Kobol. Now, my father was Reverend Almon Jacob Kobol, Reverend A.J. Kobol. That was just too much of a coincidence. I had to make a phone call. Well, come to find out that Reverend A.J. Kobol was a Baptist minister, and I used to know the name of the church that he was at. But anyway, he was a Baptist minister, and very obviously was not directly related to me. He had a very southern drawl. Obviously an African-American sounding drawl. And so the more we got to talk, the more I found out that the Reverend Kobol was his family had just taken the name of the slave owner that owned him. Now, I never have found anybody from North Carolina that was a slave owner that was one of my relatives, but undoubtedly there must have been some relationship, because there weren't that many Kobols in the country at that point. But it was exciting, and we went out and had coffee together, and it was exciting to learn that just talk about how our relationships to each other. It brings about kind of a feeling of pride in me to know that there are people that don't look like me, people that don't sound like me, people that don't believe like I believe, that also have this same American dream, this American pride of being an American person who believes in the basis of our American Constitution, that we treat people equally, we care about each other, we don't do things that are bad to each other, we have honor and dignity, which unfortunately, I must say, I don't see right now in our political spectrum, and I would like to see us get back to some honor and decency, civic honor and honesty are two things that I think we are kind of short of right now. Now, I ran for office last time around. I lost, of course, but I ran for office based on that, that I felt that we needed dignity amongst each other, toward each other, and we needed to have honesty with each other. And I unfortunately did not win. I'm not saying that my opponent wasn't honest. I'm not saying that she didn't treat people with dignity, but we had different ideas on other stuff, abortion being probably the main thing. She was a good person. She believed in what she said, and I've been watching her votes, and she votes that way. I just disagreed with a lot of her, her stance, her policies. So another thing that happened really early in our country was the growth. This is another thing that we should be proud of, is the growth of our industry. And our industry grew probably after the Civil War more than before, but it grew out of a lot of hard work, and it became a thing of pride. But it also, like in the current history, it became a thing of, greed. And if you will look back at the turn of the century, Rockefellers and the, all the barons back then who really abused people so that they could get rich. I'm not saying they took them out and beat them or anything like that. They just didn't care about what happened to people except for themselves and their family. And I believe we're getting to a point similar to that, where we don't think about our fellow man or fellow woman. Anyway, at that time, at the change of the century, there were a lot of very, very wealthy people and a lot of very, very desperately poor people. And we're getting back to that, I'm afraid. I don't believe that's liberal rhetoric. I believe that is a fact, and I think it can be proven. There were things that were going on during that time. Well, one of the things that we should be very proud of is that Americans, and even from Ohio, were the very first people to fly an heavier-than-air airplane at Kitty Hawk. And we all know the Wright brothers, who were bicycle mechanics, from what I understand. They flew the very first airplane in December 17th, 1903. And that was kind of an interesting thing for Ohio, because they, I believe, were from down around Cincinnati. And it didn't fly very far, but it flew. And we all are proud of that. The downside of that is we eventually developed those airplanes to bomb the holy crap out of other people. Anyway, I'm not saying that flight is always positive, but most of the time it's a positive thing. One of the things I was supposed to do, and I just noticed the clock is ticking by and I better do it, I'm supposed to ask a trivia question. And if you have the answer to this trivia question, you will win the opportunity to be drawn out of a hat for tickets to one of the state fairs feature concerts, which would be fantastic. And there are all sorts of really fantastic groups that are there. But let me give you the phone number first, or I'll give you the phone number after I ask the question. So go get your pencil ready. The number is 740. Let me ask the question first. What sport is this term related to? The Fosbury Flop. If you can answer that, we'll put your name on the list, and we'll try to put your name in to be drawn for one of the prizes, or one of the pairs of tickets. I believe it's a pair of tickets to the events in at the state fair. Anyway, let's get back to where I was, and my phone just went off, so I can't see where I was. That's a problem with doing your show off of a cell phone that keeps going dark on you. I know there's probably a way that it doesn't have to, but anyway, let me get to the bottom of everything. The Civil War obviously led to something I'm proud of, and that is better civil rights. Not quickly, absolutely not quickly. We waited until 1950s, 1960s to invoke actual legislation, civil rights legislation. But it did get better, and there were some shaky times that we should not be proud of. Jim Crow stuff and the KKK stuff and all the jealousy that came out because a black man got equal privilege. It took a while for a black woman to get equal privilege. I think that was 1918 when women's suffrage came about. Anyway, One of my favorite paintings when I was young, and it's popped back up on the internet. It's popped up on Facebook, and I passed it along. Is that painting of Norman Rockwell? I think it's entitled "Do Unto Others as You'd Have Them Do Unto You," and it's a picture of people standing around. I can't remember if it's a dinner table or if they're just standing there, and there is every nationality, everything you can think of in the world of human beings. There are people from Asia, there are people from Africa, there are people from Europe, there are people from native people from America. There are people from everywhere you can think of. And they're all together enjoying one another. One of the things when I went out to California and we went and watched my son play, he still plays basketball. Those of you, well, you wouldn't remember my son because he played basketball for Athens High School. But he was, surprisingly enough, selected on the All-State team along, he was a senior and LeBron James was a freshman, and they were both on the same All-State team. They didn't play together. It was, you know, those All-State teams are just honorary. They don't actually play games. But anyway, it was fun to go watch my son play because he played in a league in Ventura, California. And the league, the team he played on, if I recall correctly, there were three Hispanic kids, five African-American kids, one Asian kid, and my son. And the pride in me welled up to see that I had lived long enough to see that grouping of people playing together. Now, there was yelling, of course, but they were playing as teammates. They were not playing as opponents, and they were not angry with each other. And it didn't seem to be any jealousy if one guy took a shot and the other guy didn't. It was just a wonderful thing to watch. And I hope I live long enough to see an America that's back loving each other like that. Let's see here. One of the things that I've always been proud of as a progressive is the support, the American support of those that are suppressed throughout the world. We, not so much recently, but in the past, I've been so proud when Americans have gone to the aid of people that have been devastated by weather problems, or people that have been devastated by war, or people that have been devastated by hunger. We have helped them throughout my life of 73 years, and we've been proud. We've done it proudly. Now, I remember a book when I was we toured Europe at the time that the book The Ugly American came out, and there were some ugly Americans, people that thought, because I'm an American, I'm more important than you are, and really felt entitled and showed it when they were in Europe. That was kind of disappointing, but like I said at the beginning of this show, there are positives and negatives to all the good and all the bad. And we should be proud that we are part of a group that so far has been able to moderate the good and the bad, so that we've done more good than we've done bad to this world. We've supported the entire European continent during World War II. And that's something that I think all Americans are proud of. We're proud that we helped. But remember, we helped. We didn't do everything. There were a lot of fantastic heroes that were British or other than that. Well, we have somebody on the phone. Hang on. We'll see. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I've been listening here a little bit. I'm just kind of curious, what is the extent of your formal education?
I actually went towards my master's, but I didn't get it. I have my college degree is from Valparaiso University.
Valparaiso.
Yeah, and I'm embarrassed to tell you what my major was in, but
Orville Redenbacher territory.
Orville Redenbacher happened to be a member of my dad's church in Valparaiso. Yeah, matter of fact, he was my father-in-law, Dr. Makovsky. He was Orville's doctor. So we have a lot of connections to Orville.
Yeah, I wonder if he even had a podiatrist. He probably said, Orville, you got popcorn.
Probably did. Remember, I don't know if you recall, when we had the popcorn festival, Orville's daughter was made, or what do they call them, honorary, head of the parade.
And Grand Marshal.
Yeah, Grand Marshal, thank you. And I was the guy that got her to come to that because my father was also her minister and my father-in-law, her doctor. So, that's where it come from. And
thank you.
Yeah, sure. Have a nice day.
You were about to ask.
Yeah, I was just wondering what stimulated to ask the question.
Oh, I just heard you talking about slavery and this and that and some of the other things. You know, there are a significant group of people that seem to think, oh, slavery, United States.
There's been slavery everywhere.
Well, surprise, Whitey did not invent slavery.
Absolutely not, no.
And people forget about the indentured servants that came over with the Europeans, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes, and that was just as bad.
The Native American Indians would war upon other Indians.
And enslave them.
Not unlike the African nations that would conquer, kill, and enslave.
Yep.
And everybody at some point in time has been a slave.
Even in Asia.
I would like to see when people stop pulling the race card. I'm getting fed up with it. I know a lot of other people are.
Well, I understand
people
that.
People tend to go to the path of least resistance and tend to be lazy. Oh, well, you're racist. That's an easy thing to say. Instead of the comprehension that, hey, everybody was a slave at one point in time. Get over it.
Well,
it's
I hope
done. You're free.
I hope you haven't heard me tell anybody that they're a racist. I agree with you absolutely. Like I said earlier, there were Asian slaves. There were slaves all over. Slavery is bad, period.
I think the real word instead of racist is ignorant.
Ignorance is something we all have to fight.
Ignorant.
Absolutely.
Know?
Absolutely. So.
Anyway, hey,
I appreciate your call, and you and I agree.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. I hope I did that right. I haven't had a whole lot of phone calls, and very interesting point that gentleman brought up, and I appreciate him bringing it up. I hope those of you who listen to my shows will never think that I'm calling people ignorant or saying that we don't all have we all have some blame in the game. How's that sound? And we should respect each other for the way that we all feel. We have our own opinions. We know what we believe, and we know that we don't agree with everybody. But that's not wrong. That's good. That's why we have surfaced as the dominant creature on this earth, I believe. And like the gentleman said, it's ignorance that holds us down. It's intelligence that moves us forward. And that was really good to hear him. I appreciate that. Let's see, what was I looking for? And I have a lot of my friends who would tell you when I may disagree with them, but they will tell you that I try to listen. And I'm not going to say that because it sounds very self-serving. But I do try to listen, and I think we should all try to listen. That's one thing my father as a minister did. He did a lot of listening. I don't remember ever watching Dad in his study when he was interviewing somebody. His study in the parsonage, it had a, well, one of them had a, what do they call them? Those double doors that are, you can see through. Anyway, and I'd walk by and I'd see him sitting there listening. And rarely would I see him telling people what to do. He would listen to them. And I think that's a really good sign of a good minister. And I've tried to emulate that. I'm not sure I'm nearly as good a listener. One of the reasons why I am a fairly good listener is because if my dad ever saw me sitting in the front row at church and I wasn't listening, I heard about it that evening. Well, anyway, I've only got a couple more minutes. I see Charlie's come in and we're all set to go. And we're on the air, Charlie. He nods. We've had some struggles the last couple of days. Another thing that I'm really proud of, I heard this morning on the news, is a new organization that has devised a veterans community project. And it's they build tiny houses. You've heard of tiny houses, I think. They've been building tiny houses for people in areas where there's a lot of homelessness. And I'm going to look more into that, and we'll talk about that at a later date. Let's dream about a country where all are created equally. And as the preamble suggests, if we can just dream about that country, like when we started this country, and I understand, and when we started this country, women didn't have rights, African Americans didn't have rights, there were a lot of rights that were let go, but let's try to upgrade our thought of the preamble. We have plenty of things to be ashamed of, but let's be proud of all the things that we do have, that we should be proud for. So it's one thing I can say, it's about time that we start listening to each other. Using talking points to override somebody. You know, when I listen to both sides of the story, I hear people, all they're doing is saying talking points, and you know they're not even listening to what they're saying. That's kind of frustrating, and it's kind of disheartening to me. Everybody on both sides of the aisle have good points to move us forward in this world. And I'm kind of a globalist, and I know that's a dirty word to some people, but I believe that all people in this world can help each other. I think we ought to start listening rather than shooting our mouths off. We do a lot of shooting our mouths off, which ends up causing us all an awful lot of problems. Well, I hope you will tune in next Wednesday when I'll be back on. I think I'm on at 12. We'll get back with you. Wednesday and Thursday I'll be on. I will not be on Friday next week. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. For legendary comedian and the voice of Ursula in The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll.
And as I teased before we went to the break there, we have on today a lady who I've had on the program, I believe, two times before. But every time she comes on, I am excited. She's one of the most kind is the word I think of when I think of this woman, people that I have ever talked to. And I can tell you, I won't name names, but there are people.